Well, it's good to be back again in New Cumnock for the preaching of the gospel, and we do trust that God will bless each of us for being here. I must give you my apologies for the last time I was supposed to be here. I made a bit of a mistake when it came to shifts at work, but we managed to get somebody to cover who I'm sure preached better than I would preach anyway. So, but it's good to be here again tonight just to preach the gospel. I just want to read a few scattered verses from the Word of God, the Bible. If you've got a Bible with me, you can read along. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Some of the verses are found in kind of obscure areas, but I'm just going to take them out of context for what I want to speak to you about tonight. So if you can't find them, don't worry about it. I'll not be at all offended. The first I want to read is in Deuteronomy, in chapter 32. Deuteronomy in chapter 32 and verse 18. And the writer says, "Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." That's really just that last wee phrase there of verse 18, "and hast forgotten God that formed thee." Over to a wee book just near the end of our Old Testament, in the book of Hosea. Hosea in chapter 4 and verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, saying, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." And it's just a wee phrase in the middle there, "saying, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." Over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. And verse 6 we'll just read for. Luke chapter 12 and verse 6. "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." Back to the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah in chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Just the last little bit of verse 15. "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." And finally, over at the end of our New Testament in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. And just one little verse, verse 17. And this is coming from a quotation from the Old Testament that the Hebrew writer reminds us of it here in verse 17, "and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And we do know tonight that God always adds a blessing to his word when it is read publicly, and we do trust that God will bless each of us this evening. You know, if I was to put a heading over the week that has just gone by, then the heading that I would have put over it is a week of remembrance. And I'm sure you, like me, throughout the course of this week, and particularly a week past today, you'll have been reminded of men and women and young boys who, out of sacrifice to their country, offered up their lives, went to war, and paid the ultimate price for the safety and the security of our country. And last Sunday, all across this country, and indeed across many other countries, there were various services that were held in remembrance of these men and young boys who gave their lives for their country, who paid the ultimate sacrifice in the giving of their lives, that the you and I today might know a more peaceful world, a more peaceful Britain, a more peaceful Scotland. And throughout the course of this week, there have been services held, and there have been poppy wreaths laid, and there have been donation boxes sat in every single shop for you to buy your poppy
in remembrance of these brave men who gave their life. And I'm sure as you've watched your television or you watch the news presenter, and without exception, each and every one of them has got in their lapel or somewhere on their body the little red flower, the poppy, a sign of remembrance for these men who sacrificed their lives for us. And so over the course of last week, we can really put one title. It was really a week of remembrance. A week when we remembered men and young boys who devoted their lives to their country and paid the ultimate sacrifice. But you know, tonight, as I was pondering this meeting, I was wanting to think of something slightly different from that. Wanting to turn the whole idea of remembrance on its head, really. And I want to think tonight about forgetting. Forgetting. You know, it would be a shame, wouldn't it, after these many years, if we were to forget these men who laid down their life for our country. It would be a shame if their memory was just pushed aside, and if there was no meetings whereby we could show our appreciation for what they've done for us. It would be a sad case, be a sad day, wouldn't it, if we just forgot all about them. But you know, I want to remind you what we've read tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And the writer here says, "You have forgotten God that formed thee." See, it'd be a tragedy, you know, tonight if we were to forget these thousands of men that laid down their life for their country. And yet people think nothing of forgetting the God that created them. The God that formed them. The God that brought them into being. The God who took of the dust of the ground those thousands of years ago and he formed man. And men and women don't bat an eyelid when they're reminded of the fact that they've forgotten God that formed them. Men and women today would rather believe that we're here as a result of chance. Teachers would rather teach our children that we're here as a result of a big bang. And from that big bang we have somehow come into this world, and just by chance and just by pure luck that, you know, the very first little cell was formed and life began, and through billions of trillions of trillions of years, here we are tonight in Newcomnock Hall, sitting here, fully functioning, complex human beings. And men and women would rather believe that and forget about the God that formed them. You know, the Bible tells us where we've come from. And this Bible, this book that I've got in front of me, and many of you have got sitting before you tonight, it's the very word of God. And what does God say? God says, in the beginning, God created. No room for a big bang theory as far as God was concerned. No room as far as God was concerned for chance and just pure luck happening and trillions of years of evolution. And here we are tonight, nothing like that for God. God's word says it plainly and clearly. God says, in the beginning, God created. And God created this world in which we live. And it's sad to think that men and women live in this beautiful creation in which we're a part tonight. It's sad to think that men and women can look up into the stars of the heavens and think that it's all just by chance. It's sad to think that men can look into the depths of the sea and see the various fish-like creatures that are there and think that it's all just a mistake, all just happened by chance. It's sad to think we can look into the skies and see the fowl of the air. And we look at the earth and we see the trees and we see the plant life. And we look at it all, and it's sad to think tonight that there's people that would rather just accept that all that just came about by chance. And they've just forgotten the God that created them. The God that formed them. And God reminds us, in the beginning, God created. And not only did God create this vast universe of which we are just but a tiny part, but you know, God created man in his own image. The Bible tells us that. And from the dust of the ground they formed man, and from the rib of man they formed women. And he sent them forth to multiply and to fill the earth. And that is why we are where we are tonight, because God formed you and I. But I want to say tonight, God did not only form us, but God formed us for a purpose. The Bible tells us that all things were made by him. And the Bible also tells us tonight that all things were made for him. And this is why men and women want to forget he exists. This is why people in Newcomnock tonight want to push God out of the equation. This is why people down in Auchinleck, where I've come from, they want to kid on that God's not real. And the tragedy of pushing God out of the equation and forgetting all about God is because they don't want to own up to the fact that they were made for God. And every living soul in you coming up tonight was made for God. And every living soul down in Auchinleck and across Ayrshire and across Scotland and across this country and across this world tonight, every one of us was made for God. And no wonder people are dissatisfied when they try to live their lives away from Him. No wonder there's so much heartaches. No wonder there's so much grief. No wonder there's so much sin. No wonder there's so much emptiness. When men and women think they can find fulfillment and satisfaction apart from God, it doesn't happen tonight. And I don't know what you're trying to find fulfillment in tonight. I don't know where you're trying to get your satisfaction. I don't know what you're trying to fill the emptiness in your life with. I want to tell you there's only one thing that will satisfy. There's only one thing that fills the emptiness that's in each one of us. There's only one thing that can give us real and lasting and true joy. And that is to come into a knowledge of God. The God who formed us. The God who formed us for Him. You know, every one of us was made for God. That is the purpose of us being here tonight. That is the purpose of us being in this world, is that we might bring glory to God, that we might enjoy a relationship with God, that we might be close to God. And you go back to the beginning, you go back to Adam and Eve, and every day at a certain time God came down into the garden and God communed with man. And between God and man there was no barrier, there was no gulf, there was no bridges, there was nothing. Nothing prevented God from enjoying communion with man. And that is exactly how God wants it for us tonight. God doesn't want there to be a huge expanse between us. God doesn't want there to be a huge division. God doesn't want there to be a huge gulf. God wants to enjoy a relationship with you and with I. And that is the purpose that God made us for. And if we are not enjoying that relationship with God tonight, if we don't know God as our Father, not only our Creator, He is our Creator, but God wants to be more than that. God wants to be our Father. If we don't know Him as our Father, then we're living empty, futile, worthless lives. You know, if you take for instance, you know, someone creates the most beautiful car ever to be made and places in it, the greatest engine that has ever been made, and all the time that car just gets put into a showroom and it just sits there for people to look at. And never once is it taken out onto the road to drive, and never once do those wheels turn, and never once does that engine tick over, then that car's really just pointless, isn't it? It's not fulfilling for the purpose for which it was made. And how's that? It's with so many of us tonight. We're just living pointless lives because we're not living the lives that God has intended for us. And every one of us tonight, God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants to become our Father. He wants us to become His children. But you know, at the moment, that's not the case because there's something come into the world. And don't come too long into our creation story and we hear what it is, don't we? And even the little ones that are here tonight will be able to tell you about the time that God gave Adam and Eve the rules, didn't He? Well, only one rule, really. God says, of all the trees of the garden, you might freely eat. He says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He says, don't eat of it. He says, the day you eat of that, you'll die. And what did man do? Man in his arrogance and man in his sin. Man just did exactly what God told him not to do. And Eve took of the fruit and gave it to Adam, and Adam took of the fruit and disobedience and sin come into the world. And that relationship with God is broken, and that sin has continued right down until now in 2009, and that sin separates us from God. But you know, it's sad to think, we read in Hosea chapter 4, not only do people forget about God, but you know, we read there that you've forgotten the law of thy God. And you know, it's sad to think, you know, that people today live their lives as if God is real, then God doesn't really care how we live. You know, it's sad to think there's people here and, you know, that they maybe don't know the Ten Commandments. There's certainly people out in you coming up tonight that couldn't name you the Ten Commandments. They've forgotten the law of God and they just live their lives by their own standards and by their own rules. And as far as they're concerned, you know, everybody for their own, and as long as maybe you're not hurting anybody, then who cares how we live? God was very specific when He gave His laws to Moses. And God says, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not tell lies, and thou shalt honour thy mother and thy father, and thou shalt have no other God before me, and thou shalt keep the Sabbath day. And men and women tonight, and people perhaps in this room have disregarded the law of God, they've just forgotten it, forgot even exists. and thinks tonight they can just live their lives the way they want, just please themselves, just do their own thing. Just, you know, as long as nobody's getting hurt in the process, then we can all just live our own lives the way we want. The Bible says, you know, that there's a law. And the law was made for one purpose, to just prove that you and I couldn't keep it. You know, there's those who came to the Lord Jesus and they try to say they'd kept all the law. A man came to the Lord Jesus, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we remember the Lord Jesus Christ would tell him in the Ten Commandments, and he says, all these have I kept from my youth up. He must have been a very upright person if he thought he'd kept all the Ten Commandments. You know, the Bible tells us that God's too holy. There's people who will say, you know, I've never killed. And yet the Bible says that if you've looked at someone and you've hated them, then you're guilty of murder in your heart. Many people have you hated? Many people have you looked at and despised them? God says it's just as if you've murdered them. There are people in this world and they'll say, well, you know, I'm not a bad person. I've never committed adultery. And God says, have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her in your heart? And God says, you're just as well doing it. He says, you're just an adulterer. God is holy tonight. And God has set standards, and the fact of the matter is tonight, there's not one in this room who's kept those standards. There's not one in you come that has kept those standards. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Without exception in this little room tonight, whether or not we've disregarded the laws of God doesn't really change things, because God says of every one of us tonight, including myself, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no getting away from it tonight. Whether we think his laws are applicable to us, whether we think the Ten Commandments are really worth obeying, whether we think what God says is really worth listening to, it doesn't really change things, because God says it is worth listening to. And the Ten Commandments is relevant. And it's just to prove one point. He says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we can forget about God, and we can forget about his laws. Doesn't he change the outcome tonight? That everyone in this little room is sinners. And sin deserves a punishment. What does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. And you don't have to look too far, do we, to see the evidence of that tonight. I'm sure just as here in Auchinleck, you know, evidence, you walk past the graveyard, evidence of death, evidence that sin is real. Evidence that the wages of that sin is death. And that is the wage that is due to you and I, because we're sinners. Sinners that are far away from God. Sinners that have separated ourselves from him because of our sin. Sinners that have chosen to disregard him and disregard his laws and live our lives the way we want. And God's got no alternative but to punish sin. And God says tonight, the wages of sin is death. That is the due reward. That is exactly what you deserve. If I do a week's work down at the hospital, then I get a week's work pay. That's what I do. That's what I deserve. For putting in the hours I put in, I get X amount of money. That's my wages. I deserve that. And God says of you and I tonight, the wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve tonight. That's no God being cruel to you. That's no God being hard on you. That's no God being strict on you. That's God being just. That's what God says. God says that's what you've worked for. God says you've worked for what you get, and he says the wages of sin is death. And we forget about God. And maybe you've sat in this room and maybe you've forgotten about God, pushed God out of your mind. And maybe you've forgotten about his laws, and maybe you've just pushed his laws from your mind and just lived your life as you please. Well, I want to tell you, one day it'll catch up on you. God can't just ignore your sin. You know, we're quite good at ignoring sin, aren't we? Certainly our own sin, we're quite good at ignoring it. And all the wrong things that we do, you know, we try to make excuses for it, and we try to say that we're just not as bad as what people try to make us out to be, and we're maybe not just as bad as our next door neighbour where we live in New Cumnock. And we can look at individuals in the village that maybe appear to be worse than us, and we can try to engage ourselves with them, and you know, we try to say that we're not really just as bad. But, you know, God's got no exceptions between us here this evening. And from the worst person that you can pick out in New Cumnock to yourself tonight, to the very best person you can pick out in New Cumnock, God says everybody's the same. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can forget God tonight, and we can forget his laws. But you know, I want to tell you of a God tonight that will not forget you. Is that no wonderful what we read in Luke chapter 12? And God's speaking, and Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding them of sparrows. There's not five sparrows sold for a penny. Really no value in a sparrow at all, is there? How many dead sparrows do you think are lying about our countryside tonight that we don't know anything about? No real value to us. No real importance to us. A few months ago, you know, I was letting our dog back in from the back garden, and I noticed out the corner of my eye that she had something in her mouth. And I reached forward to take it out with one big gulp, she swallowed it, and it was a dead sparrow. And you know, it just brought this little verse to my mind. Five sparrows for a penny. And not one of them is forgotten by God. That's how much God cares tonight. You might have forgotten about him. And you might have forgotten about his laws. And you might be living your life regardless and heedless and careless and just living your life the way you want. But I want to say tonight, in kindness, that God has not forgotten you. That verse goes on to say, are ye not of more value than many sparrows? You know, we live in a world where people like to put us down, don't they? And people like to, you know, point the finger and accuse us and, you know, say, you know, people have got no time for us, and perhaps family have got no time for us, and perhaps friends have turned their back on us, and perhaps as far as you're concerned, everybody has forgotten about you. And maybe you've got nearest and dearest that as far as you're concerned, they've just forgotten you even exist. And perhaps you've got friends that once cared for you and you once ran alongside, and as far as you're concerned, that they're no longer there and they don't really care about you, and as if you don't exist. As if they've forgotten all about you. I want to tell you tonight, God will not forget about you. God doesn't forget one single sparrow that falls from the ground, from the air to the ground. And God says, concerning you and I this evening, are we not of more value than many sparrows? You know, people try to devalue us, don't they? God doesn't devalue us. I want to say, God holds you very valuable. God places such a price upon you tonight. Despite the fact you forgot him, despite the fact that you forgot his laws, despite the fact you've been living your life the way you want for the last X amount of years, despite the fact that he's called you and called you and called you and you failed to come, God doesn't just decide that he's had enough and he's going to turn his back upon you. God values you far too much for that, and God will not forget you. God will not forget you. You know, there might be times when, you know, even as Christians, and sometimes Christians can let you down. When I speak from my own heart, you know, there's people that I've come into contact with and I've forgotten about them. And I've let them down. But God will never let you down. God will never forget about you. We go over to Isaiah in chapter 49. And what does he say? He says, look, he says, can a mother forget a suckling child? Or can she forget the son of her womb? And sadly, do you know, today we live in a world where that happens all over the place. And sadly, we see children getting taken away from their parents because, you know, parents don't really have any care for them. They forget about them. And, you know, all across our country and down in Auchinleck and up here in New Cumnock and across our world tonight, it's true that, you know, mothers forget about their children. That's the day in which we're living tonight. That's how far away from God we've come, that a mother forgets about her suckling child. A mother forgets about the child of her womb. You know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, would people even have considered such a state? And yet that is the state of our country tonight. That is the state of our villages here. The mums have just forgotten about their children. And God says away back then in Isaiah's time, he says, they may forget. He says, but I won't forget you. See, God's love for us is stronger than a mother's to a son. And God's love for us tonight is stronger than a mother's to a daughter. That most natural bond, God's love is far stronger than that. What does he say in the beginning of Isaiah chapter verse 16? He says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. That's how God will never forget you tonight. And you might say to me, well, that's a kind of strange thing for Isaiah to write. And, you know, you might say, what does that really mean, that, you know, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands? Well, you know, I want to show you tonight how God won't forget about you. I want to take you to Calvary. Because, you know, that was really where the love of God was manifested in all its fullness. I want to take you to a cross. I want to take you to visualise this evening just hanging in that cross, a man A man that was beaten beyond recognition. A man that the Bible tells us had a face that was marred more than any man's. A man who had a back that was lashed like a ploughed field. A man who had experienced vile men taking of his beard and plucking it from his face. A man who had experienced what it was for men to come up to him and put a blindfold across his eyes and punch him in the face and say, "Tell us who it is that's hitting you." A man who had experienced what it was for men to come up and to spit upon him. A man who had experienced what it was to be stripped of his clothes and to be put upon a gown of purple gown and mockery, and for people to put a sceptre in his hand, and for men to take the time to make a crown of thorns and to crush it into his head, and for them to bow down in mockery and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." I want you to visualise for a wee moment that man hanging in the cross at Calvary. And after men had done their most extreme violence, and it was a violent death, after men had sunk to the very lowest that they could sink to, when they'd come up to the very worst ideas that they could come up to of how they could humiliate this man, and how they could hurt this man, and how they could cause this man pain, once they had done as much as they thought was ultimately possible, God closed that whole area in darkness. And for 3 hours, God punished his son in Calvary for your sins. Those sins that you have maybe just enjoyed, those sins that have kept you away from God for all these years, those sins that have been an abhorrence to God, those sins that have made you feel defiled and dirty and unclean, those sins 2,000 years ago, God poured them upon the punishment for those sins upon you, upon his son at Calvary. And the Isaiah writer here says, "I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands." And take a moment to think about the palms of the hands of that man at Calvary. The Bible tells us that once they had done their worst to him, once they had inflicted the pain upon him, once they had humiliated him, once they had just made him feel so small and so humiliated and so little, they lay him upon a cross, a big wooden cross, and they took huge big Roman nails and they hammered them through his hands and through his feet, and they hung him up on that cross, just a public spectacle. A man that became nothing more than the song of a drunkard. A man that was jeered at and laughed at. A man that was stripped of his clothes and they hung there naked, humiliated. Can you even picture the scene? And those hands were pierced. And Isaiah writes, he says, "I have inscribed you in the palms of my hand." Such was his love for you tonight that he endured Calvary. Such was his love for you tonight that he allowed men to crucify him. Such was his love for you tonight that he allowed men to nail him to that cross and to lift him up. Such was his love to you. Because Jesus Christ knew that was the only answer. You know, I've already reminded you tonight that God must punish sin. God is of far too holy eyes just to dismiss sin. And God is of far too holy eyes to, brush sin under the carpet and kid on sin never existed. And God can't just turn a blind eye to sin. When God sees sin, then God's got to punish it. And God's left with two options tonight. God either punishes you for your sin. I've already told you what that is. That's death. And not just physical death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from God forever. Can you imagine it? Sometimes life in this world is hard. And I've heard people say, you know, that this life is hell. You know, I want to tell you tonight, this life is far from hell. I don't care how bad your life gets here and now. It's nothing in comparison to what hell is going to be like when you're separated from God forever and forever and forever. And God is left with an option. God either judges you and punishes you for your sin and casts you into a lake of fire and leaves you there forever and forever and forever with no hope of reprieve, with no hope of rescue, with no hope of salvation forever. Our minds can't even grasp the concept of forever. We're so confined to time and space, we can't even begin to imagine what forever's like. And yet God's left with one hand, he either punishes you and sends you to hell forever, or he sends his son to Calvary. And he punishes his son in Calvary for your sins and for mine. In those 3 hours in darkness, God punished the Lord Jesus Christ. God poured upon him the wrath of our sin, that he, the righteous one, became the unrighteous one. He became sin for us, that we, the unrighteous, might be made right in him. You know, that's what Calvary was all about tonight. And Lord Jesus Christ didn't just die, but I want to remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ was buried. And I'm not preaching you tonight a man that lies in a tomb, because a man that lies in a tomb is of no consequence to anybody here. A man that lies in a tomb is of no benefit. And there's multitudes of faiths out there, and they'll point you to a tomb where a dead man lies, and it's absolutely no avail. I want to tell you, on the third day, just as he had said, he rose again from the dead. And the Saviour that I present to you tonight is none other than a living Saviour that is seated in heaven beside his Father. And I want to tell you, he's sitting there tonight, and do you know what he's got in his hands? He's got the marks of Calvary. He's got the marks of his love for you. And he's got the marks of his love for me. He's inscribed us in the palm of his hands. And he'll never forget us. You know, you need to avail yourself of his love tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ cried from the cross, "It's finished." The work was done. The work for your salvation was completed. There was nothing to be added to it. There was nothing that we could take away from it. It was done to God's satisfaction. It was done to the satisfaction of Christ himself. And he says, "It's finished." And all that he asks us to do tonight is just to believe it, just to rest upon it. Just to cast our all upon the finished work at Calvary. Just admit to God what we are, what he says we are, that we're sinners. That we've come short of his standard, that we've failed him, that we've missed the mark. And acknowledge that you rightfully deserve to be cast out of his presence forever and experience an eternity in a place where there is no God and there is no hope of God. And acknowledge that that is what you deserve, and acknowledge that on the cross at Calvary, God remembered you. God never forgot you. And God punished his Son at Calvary for your sins. And in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you're inscribed in the palms of his hands. He loves you tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ is wanting to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. He's wanting to save us, but you know, we read in Hebrews chapter 10 that he says this, he says, "Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more." You know, it's not really a sense in which, you know, we're talking about forgetting, but you know, God can't forget, because forgetting is really a human trait. It's part of our failure. It's part of a fallen race that we forget, and you know, God doesn't forget, but God chooses to remember our sins and our iniquities no more. What a great offer he's making tonight. Despite the fact that you've forgotten about him, despite the fact that you've forgotten about his laws, despite the fact that you've lived your life the way you want and you've pleased yourself and you've done your own thing and you've gone your own way, and despite the fact that God is of no importance to you, God is making an offer tonight on the basis of what his Son did at Calvary. He's offering to remember your sins and your iniquities no more. What an offer tonight. Is that not what we would all long for? Is that not what we would long for, even from our nearest and dearest? If our nearest and dearest, who knew all our failings and all our faults, would be able to come up to us one day and say, "Listen, I'm not going to remember them anymore," would we not just grasp that opportunity with two hands? Know what it is to feel no shame again. Know what it is to feel no disappointment. Know what it is to feel no disgust at ourselves again because of what we've done. If even our nearest and dearest was to come and say, "Listen, I'll no remember them. I'll choose to push them from my memory and never ever allow them back again." You know, we would grasp that opportunity. And here the very God of heaven tonight is making an offer that your sins and your iniquities he'll remember no more. A white, a slate wiped clean, as if you have never, ever, ever sinned. Can you imagine that tonight? Imagine enjoying an experience knowing that as far as God is concerned, you have never sinned. Your sin is covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a story in the Old Testament, at the beginning of the Passover, And you know, the family was instructed that they were to take a lamb and they were to, you know, they were to kill that lamb, and then they were to put upon the doorpost and upon the lintel the blood of that lamb. And there was the angel of death was going to pass through, and the angel would see this. He says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." You know, tonight God is wanting to cover your sins with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he might be able to say, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That condemnation that you rightfully deserve, that condemnation that should rightfully be yours, that separation from God forever, the Lord Jesus Christ says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. A slate that is wiped clean. The Bible says, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Can you imagine that tonight? God is making that offer to you. An offer to remember your sins and iniquities no more. And it's all on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. He can't just forget about them and forgive. He punished them. He punished your sins on the body of his own son at Calvary. And because of that, he makes the offer tonight. He makes the offer to remember your sins no more. The offer's there tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ invites you to accept the offer. A man came to the Lord Jesus, to a great preacher, and he says, "You know, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul says to him, the simplest of things, he says, "Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." The work's already been done tonight. All that is required of us is faith. Faith in a finished work. And come into the joy of knowing that as far as God is concerned, your sins are gone and gone forever. The Bible says that he'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. You imagine, we can't even imagine that tonight, how far apart that is. And yet God says, "Look, I'll separate you from your sin as far as the east is from the west." That's how much God loves you. And God offers you that tonight. On the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ tonight sits in heaven and he's bearing the very fresh marks of Calvary inscribed upon the palms of his hands. He's not forgotten about you. And he extends to you tonight an offer of salvation. "Come unto me," says the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What an offer tonight. Is it an offer that you're going to accept? Or is it an offer that you're maybe going to put off? Or is it an offer that you're just going to turn your nose at and reject altogether? The offer's in your court. The ball's in your court tonight. What you do with the offer, God has done his part. And I trust from what I've said this evening that I've done my part, and it's up to you tonight. You either accept God's offer of salvation or you reject it and you face the consequences of bearing the punishment of your sin for all eternity. Shall we pray? Father, as we come into your presence, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for just how valuable we are to you this evening. There's not one of us is of any less value than the other. We remember that you could remind us that five sparrows are sold for a penny, and yet there's not one sparrow falls to the ground that is not known of you. And how much more value are we than many sparrows? And we think of the value of that you evidenced that by giving your son to the cross at Calvary, and there making him to bear the punishment for our sins. And he stands tonight and he makes us the offer that your sins and our iniquities you will remember no more. Father, may, if we've never yet trusted the Lord Jesus, may we tonight trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. May we know the joy of our sins forgiven. May we come into the joy of just experiencing, just as far as it were with thee, just a clean slate, as if we had never sinned at all. What a position to be brought into, and we do remember it's all on the basis of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And so for him we give thanks, and for this time together we give thanks. We commit each one here into your hand, praying that you would bless them, watch over them as we make their way home in safety. We do ask, as we commit them tenderly into your care. We do so in Jesus' name.